Everyone well? Bring greetings from Borden. Anyone who hasn't visited on a Sunday morning, I'd encourage you. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, we have launched a church out in Borden. Meets at the Village Forest
Community Centre.
Forest Community Centre. I never remember, but I do actually go there when I preach there. Excellent morning this morning, which I'm going to tell you a little bit more about. But I am going to start with a very encouraging testimony that Steve gave. You, some of you, if you came to the carols here, I think it was actually Anne when Angela was here. Anyway, Steve from Borden got up and gave a testimony. So he just encouraged us this morning, gave a story that he had heard from a friend of his who lives not too far from where they are out there. And basically, I'll try and do it as quickly as possible. There was a friend of his who lives in a close. And one of the people in the close had got into quite a bit of problem with some drug dealers and owed these drug dealers quite a lot of money. So this is an actual story. And then the drug dealers were coming around and were basically intimidating the whole close in their attempts to get their money back from this guy. So they're coming, their presence was there, and they were being loud and obnoxious and threatening. This one lady, Steve's friend's wife, who's a Christian, quite a short lady, he said, was saying, this is not on, I'm not having this. So she prayed, she asked the Lord to be with her. Then she went out. These drug dealers were all in the close, being intimidating. She went out, and she went walked right up to them and said, "You are not meant to be here. You need to leave, and you need to leave now, and you need to not come back." And these drug dealers had a look on their face. All right. And they left. They haven't returned. And the drug dealer, the guy that got in trouble with the drug dealer, came over to this lady and knocked on the door and said, "I don't know why, but who were those massive blokes with you?" Who were those massive blokes with you? I saw it, and the drug dealer saw it. There were two huge guys with you. That's the God we serve, right? Angels amongst us. We blink, we miss them. So I hope you've all had a good Christmas, a good New Year, and a good first week, if it is your first week back. One thing that I remember from the Christmas period, those of you who don't know, I've got four children, and my Gabriella is 5 years old. And Sean came round, it was on my birthday, and it was Christmas Eve, and he popped in to wish me well. And Gabriella was running around, Sean was just about to leave, and she rushed up to me, and I just was, "Watch out, Buzz, I've got to show Sean the door." And she looked at me and she said, "Why, does he not know where it is?" Kids see things differently, don't they? Wonderful. And I hope this morning that we see things differently. I hope that we get something of God. I'm really excited about this morning. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what happened in Borden, but it was an excellent time, and I'm really excited, so I'm going to jump straight in. So what's in a name? The importance of names. Why do we have names? Anyone ever thought of that? Is it a label? Just a label? Or is it something deeper? Does it reveal something of the prophetic purpose in God's great adventure? I did a bit of internet research last night, and I thought, Sean or Sean, because I certainly wanted both of them to be covered. Dave thought that the order of putting up the Seans was going to cause a bit of an issue, but I wanted to make sure that neither of them got upset with only one of the names being up. But God is gracious. Doesn't that kind of fit? David, beloved and friend. Our friend Dave Berry out there. Sarah or Sarah, princess, Claire, clear and bright. I kind of think Claire Mormon fits quite well into that, doesn't it? Or when you think of Matt, you can think of a few people here, don't you? Think of Matt. You think of Anthony, think of Adrian. You think of Juliet. It's something more than just a label, isn't it? What about God? Does he place importance on a name? I think Matthew 1, verse 22 shows us something about that. Now, all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Now God thinks about names, prepares names beforehand, and in some cases, hundreds of years beforehand. Even with John the Baptizer, his name was prepared, wasn't it? And actually the family and friends got a little bit cross, saying, well, it's not John. How can it be John? That's not a family name. That's not part of the tradition. But no, it was. So 2014 was the year of boredom was launched. We had baptisms. We had people come to know Jesus. And I'm sure in your own lives you had things that you had a year of possibilities. You had walking in the things that God had stored up for us and does store up for us. And each year builds on the previous year and adds to the future. I believe God uses a season to build into our spiritual DNA that then is always with us. Because every year is a year of possibilities, isn't it? It's not like 2014 was a year of possibilities. We can forget that now. No. God will use a season, God will, in this case, maybe a year, where the anointing comes and build something into our spiritual DNA so that we become that in a more deeper way, in a greater measure, such that going forward, that's part of us. That part of God, that part where we've seen a bigger God and the possibilities that are out there for us, we become that, and then every year from that, we walk in the goodness of that. So every year adds on the years before and adds to the future years. And that's why we're looking at what God has for us in this coming year. I've been praying about this for quite a while, a couple of months, and just kept coming back to this phrase for 2015, this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready? Yeah. 2015, the year of Jubilee. Luke 4, verse 14 to 21. It's a key scripture, and we're going to come to that just now. The year of Jubilee. What is Jubilee, though? Is it something to do with the Queen? Something to do with being happy? We're called Jubilee Church. We think about that very often. We probably say it quite often, but we think about, what's that name? And I think God has always had Jubilee in his heart. He's had this sense of Jubilee. And we see in Leviticus 25, verse 9 to 10. And I know Leviticus, many of you will probably know that in chapter 25 of Leviticus lays out in detail. But I'm just picking up this sense that God's always had a heart to jubilee. And in verse 9 and 10, it says, "Then sound the trumpet everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. Sound the trumpet throughout the land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to your family property and to your own clan." So the year of jubilee. What is it about? Well, it's about setting the captives free. And particularly in the Old Testament times there, it would be when you were either sold into slavery or sold yourself into slavery, or because of poverty you had found yourself in slavery on some debate whether it was the 49th or the 50th year. But then at this point in this year, you would be released. You would be set free. It's about debts which we cannot pay ourselves being released. It's about liberation. It's about land restored to its rightful owners. Go back to your family property. It's about acting with justice and righteousness. It's about entering God's rest. And of course, it's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So the year of Jubilee. If you've got your Bibles or your apps, please turn to Luke 4, starting in verse 14. It's going to be on the screen, but it's always good to bring your Bible to church, electronically or otherwise. So Luke 4, verse 14 following. "And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding district. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel, or the good news, to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So it's very much about Jubilee, about Jesus, isn't it? He has, as he proclaims there, as he declares there, fulfilled the Jubilee. He is the one that sets the captives free. But isn't it interesting that shadow that pointed to Jesus back in Leviticus about setting the captives free, about releasing debts, about breaking of bondages, that shadow back in Leviticus, then comes through, and Jesus, through, of course, it's the Isaiah passage, isn't it? And then Jesus reads it. But he doesn't read all of the Isaiah passage when you go and look at it. It's the first half. And he fulfills that. So this year, the beginning of the year, it's all about Jesus. But you see, God's anointing and prophetic word creates the environment for us to embody the year of Jubilee. The anointing comes in a season, and the prophetic word comes in to break something open in our spirits, where we then begin to really take on into our hearts and our spirits what the Lord is saying to us through this sense of the year of Jubilee. So it's about redemption. Are you full of faith for people to come to know Jesus this year? We've had people come to Jesus in the past few years, and it's great. Every single person is an absolute blessing. But let's have faith for many, many to come to Jesus. It's about regaining the lost inheritance. Amazing, out in Borden, as we're halfway through worship, they just started to have this sense, and he spoke about the parables of where things were lost. Of course, the son goes off and squanders his inheritance, and then the lost coin, and you know the parables, the lost sheep. Have you got a sense of anything lost? Your inheritance lost? Something stolen from you? This year is about regaining the lost inheritance. It's about being set free from inner bondages, free from guilt, fear, anxiety, anger, hostility. It's about broken relationships being restored. The scripture says you will return to your family. Family relationships are quite something, aren't they? Is that just my family? Maybe. They're wonderful. We love our families deeply, generally. Not always, but sometimes it can be, you know, a little bit choppy in that family area. This year, we're going to see relationships restored. Family relationships, friends restored. It's about wiping the slate clean and starting again. It's about a release of debts we cannot pay. We know Jesus saved us from our sins. That's the one we could never have paid. And he's released us from that. But we need to see a God, you know, is anything too difficult for God? Is he thinking, no, well, that one there in Farnham, tricky. He's higher than the mountain. He's stronger than the grave. He's overcome the world. So I'm believing and hoping and a sense that there will be a miraculous release from debt. Some perhaps are forerunners of the year of Jubilee, already running in there. Where's your faith? It's about walls of separation coming down. God is building his church from all nations, all tribes, all tongues. Wasn't it awesome to have Sibiwe here last week? Anyone catch him? What a wonderful spirit. Just gems. Gems from Africa. It did make me laugh, though, because I thought when he was talking, if anyone was here, when he was talking and saying, you know, in Africa, music touches us. It makes us move, makes us dance. He said, and he was telling a story and said, there was one guy in our meetings just didn't dance. Felt so like saying, I bet he was a white guy from Farnham. Good. It's about acting with justice and righteousness and mercy and compassion in society. See, even when you read in, again, the Leviticus passage, it talks about if you sell land in relation to where in the number of years left until the year of Jubilee, you then had to differ your price so that the person that bought land close to the year of Jubilee doesn't get ripped off. It's about treating people with equity. It's about justice and righteousness. Think about the kind of things that we at Jubilee do. The Chantries Project, Kids Club, justice, righteousness, mercy, compassion, the Way Life Project. It's about the restoration of the land. You remember when Angela was here, we had that picture of the lion roaring over Farnham and Borden. Could it be this year, could it be that God's going to give us a building? He's done it before. Waydon Christian Centre was given to us. Okay, we had to pay £53 for it.
But 54.
54. But I think that was representative of the number of years it had been Christian place of worship and honouring God in that. But we're getting full here, aren't we? We'd love our own place. The setup team would love our own place. Could it be? And it's about entering God's rest. In the Old Testament, it was a year of rest from the toil of labor. Today, we can enter God's rest and stop relying on our own strength. Hebrews 4, verse 9 to 11 says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests for their work from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." Of course, they're talking about their time in the wilderness there. And it's rest. It's rest not in a sense of, okay, I need to go and have a nap now. I need to lie down. I love a nap. Sometimes I do feel like a rest when... That was the other thing that happened. It was Monday morning, the alarm goes off. So I woke up in the city, the alarm goes off at 5:15. That's what it is. And then and for the first time ever, I was just sneaking one last thing into the year of possibilities. The first time ever, when we got to Waterloo, the guys that get on at Farnham, we all sort of, you get to know your commuting buddies, had to poke me to wake me up. Not that kind of rest that I'm talking about. It's a rest where we enter into operating in God's power and not operating in our own strengths and our own talent and the gifts that he has given us anyway. But it's operating in what he has done. You see, the wonder of it is that when we begin to operate on that level, in his rest, we get so much more done. It's about Jesus. Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble, I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Even here, rest is mentioned twice. First as a gift, says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And we accept Jesus as our Savior. And then it goes on to say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest." You will learn from Jesus and you will find rest. So we get this rest when we come to Jesus, and then when we take on his yoke and we learn from him, we learn to operate in that rest. We find that rest going forward. Because have you ever felt in the flow of your life with Jesus that sometimes it's on fire and sometimes it feels a bit of a struggle? That's Juliet, Anthony, and me. But it does sometimes feel like that. I think when we begin to feel like that, we were operating more in our own strength. It's like, right, all I have to do is pray harder. And do things better. It's about me, what I can do. We miss it. Because it's about him and what he's done. He's provided for us in abundance. So, if you don't know Jesus this morning, right, so let's just have, for a moment, hope this doesn't creep anyone out, or let's just have eyes closed and heads bowed for a second. If you don't know Jesus, our heart's cry is that you come to him and receive the gift of his rest. He has done it all for you, paid your debt, wiped away all the sin, given you a fresh start, provided a way to the Father. John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." With eyes closed, is there anyone here that doesn't know Jesus that wants to come into that rest this morning? That wants to meet Jesus for the first time? Is you just want to raise your hand? I know who you are. For the rest of us, you can open your eyes. If you do know Jesus as your Savior this morning, I think at the beginning of this year of Jubilee, he is calling us to take on his yoke and enter his rest. All of those other things that I spoke about are absolutely there for this year. And maybe it will be today. I'll be absolutely thrilled if it begins to break out this morning. The sense I get is that he wants us to take on his yoke and enter his rest. But don't forget that it's about getting set free. It's about debts being released. It's about breaking out of bondages. It's about a restoration of the land. It's about righteousness and justice, compassion and mercy. But this morning, the sense I had right at the beginning of the year that he's calling us to enter his to take on his yoke and enter his rest. Because when you enter into his yoke, what we're doing is giving up the right to decide what to do with our life. Now, when I get that, understand what I mean. You always have a choice, don't you? Always. You always walk away. But what I'm saying is that when you take on the yoke, you get that picture of the oxen. Okay, yoked together. When that oxen goes in there, no longer has the choice just to turn left whenever he wants. The yoke is on there. We're expecting the Father to direct us. There's a promise that we'll learn from him and find rest. You see him? Are you still keeping some area of your life from God? Is there an area where your self-talk is this is mine? I'm all right, actually. I've got this covered. I can do this on my own. Keep out. Maybe it's not that explicit. Some of you, well, as soon as I've said that, we'll know, yeah, okay, that's the area. That's the area. But some of us, maybe, I was talking to Lindy last night, saying, maybe it's those areas that we're anxious about. Maybe it's those areas where we're fearful, we're worried. Perfect love casts out fear. The Bible says, do not be anxious. We all have them, don't we? We all have our struggles to get through. We all have our journey that we are on. It's an area that we don't really like to show people that often. It's over in the corner. It's right up in the loft, right at the back. And only I know it's there. For you, maybe it's work. Maybe it's ambitions at work. Maybe it's your finances. I know what it's like. Four kids, mortgage to pay, I lose my job. Maybe it's how you think about yourself. Maybe it's how you are with your children. You see, in John 12:24, it says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just one grain. It never becomes more, but lives by itself alone. But if it dies, it produces many others and yields a rich harvest. And Luke 9:24 says, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. What I think he's calling us into, what I believe he's calling us into right at the beginning of the year, is this radical abandoning of our own strength and trusting in him. Trusting in him even if the job goes. Trusting in him for that relationship. Trusting in him for that family member to come to Christ. Trusting in him that the kids are going to be okay. Trusting in him that the finances are going to be okay. I said I'll just mention a couple of things from the board meeting. We're going to do something just now. This room, Ruben? Stands on here. But Dave came up and shared, he's saying, in this year of Jubilee, the anointing is going to come and it's going to break people free of bondages, particularly battles in the mind. And our mind is such a battlefield, isn't it? And we did what we're going to do in a minute. The anointing came, people started weeping as we were going through this ministry time, and then someone came up to the front and began to speak out. This person had never spoken in public for, I think it's over a decade. And she said, today I'm breaking what's been on me because of the power of the anointing that came. Amazing testimony. But even there, even right there, we had the year of Jubilee breaking out. So what we're going to do now, and what I want all of us to think about, is what are those areas for you and what are those areas for me that we need to break out of? Is there something very explicit that you know you've been keeping God from? Could be a habit, could be a thought, could be an area. Is it where are your fears? Where are your anxieties? What are you worried about? And in the scriptures, in the Leviticus passages that we read, it said at the start of the year, we'll blow the trumpet to announce the year of Jubilee. It was actually a ram's horn, but Rue didn't have a ram's horn. But in many of the versions, it'll say a trumpet. So Rue's going to come and blow the trumpet, prophetically declare the beginning of the year of Jubilee. Let's stand. I'm going to pray. And as we do that, as the trumpet gets blown, think. Okay, actually, what I want to do, even a little bit, what time is it? Sean, do I have enough time? Okay, it's going quite well. Right, okay, quick as you can. Let's move the chairs away. Quick as you can. So please, people at the back, come down. People come in. Actually, Pete, if you would mind coming up, coming to the band, guys? So I'm going to pray. We're going to have the ram's horn blow and announce the beginning of the year of Jubilee. And as happened in Borden, the anointing is going to come and we are going to break, or the Lord is going to break some yoke or some bondages this morning. So if you want ministry, then please come. There'll be a couple of us up here who's going to pray with you. Pray amongst yourselves. And also remember, maybe if it's an area is not coming specifically to you that you need to be broken free from, ask the Lord to take on that yoke. I want to enter into your rest. I want to work with you this year. I want to just have that wild abandon where I'm trusting in you in all things. You call me out of the boat, I'm stepping. And maybe for some of us, it's actually needing to know the Father heart of God. Because you're not going to come out of that boat unless you know that your Father is going to be there. And even if you start to sink, he's going to lay his hand down and pick you up. Some of you are going to know the Father heart of God this morning. Without that, how do we trust him? How do we enter into his rest? Beyond and above and so far, even if you've had the most exceptional earthly father, the quantum of difference to your heavenly father. I'm going to pray. We're going to declare the year begun. Pete's going to then start to worship. And then let's start ministry and be open to what the Lord has for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for all you have done already this morning. We thank you for the year of Jubilee, Lord. We want to open our hearts to enter into all that you have for us in this year of Jubilee, Lord. I pray for your anointing to come now and throughout the year to break us through into new things, Lord, where we can be set free, released from debt, and enter your rest. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name.
We've already done today, but it just seemed fitting, seemed right to do it again.